expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Sovereign Minds, we're back. It's Sunday. Yay!
Yeah, well, we're trying to get the sound for
I know, you're turning my ears up.
Yeah,
you said, whoa!
Yes, how come that does his and mine and yours?
Super Troll Sunday.
Good morning.
Yeah,
once again,
go.
It's Sunday, Sovereign Mind Radio.
Did you guys have those full blast or what? Because my main board is really, really low.
I don't know. I think Terry's deaf or something.
I think so,
in my chair. It's like it came on. It's like, whoa!
Yeah, because
it's really low out here, and I need a little bit higher.
Yeah, because I can barely hear you. When I turn the red for Colt, it turns everybody's up.
Okay, how's that?
That's a little better.
It's a little. It's kind of getting high. I mean, I can turn my down just a touch.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Yeah, I don't know. Okay.
We'll get it figured out.
All right. Maybe I'll just back away from the microphone here or something. I don't know. Anyway, it's Sunday once again, February 13th. Don't pound the table, Mark, because it makes too much noise. 2022. I'm here in the studio with all of my compadres and cohorts and guests.
Extremists is what they'd call us.
Insurrectionists.
Oh, wow. You're really loud now.
We have white supremacists and...
Right here.
Non-white white supremacists here.
Say good morning.
Wow. Morning, the non-white supremacists.
Yeah, we have all the colors here, huh? Red, brown, white, all here.
Okay.
Now their article's going to be like, they did not have a black man on the panel, and he said they had all the colors. They're intentionally leaving him out.
There'll be a fact check.
On Facebook, yeah.
Yeah, they'll fact check on Facebook.
My bad. I'm sorry, Facebook.
It's cool. I'm 3% black.
I think everybody's... I'm making a prediction. Everybody's
You're making
gonna,
a what?
I'm making a prediction. Everybody is going to be off of Facebook within a year.
I hope so.
I think
True.
So.
True story.
I think
it's
so.
Crash.
I think everybody's had enough of their crap. But right now, that's the war zone. That's where we're fighting the war. That's it.
The kids right now are literally like, Facebook? That's for old people. Snapchat, where it's at.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
I'm not into Snapchat.
Exactly. Because you're old people.
Yes, but we may be wiser than you younger ones.
I'm here in the great state of Jefferson. Trying to solve a problem. With my sister Linda, who does all the heavy lifting.
Good morning.
And we have the kid that rocks around the clock, and his wife, who is a white, non-white, white supremacist. Edith.
Good morning.
Morning.
She's just an American.
My ethnicity is Hispanic.
Nice.
Oh,
she's an American.
Weird how that works.
Yeah. And we also have a special guest here in the studio today, Colt Roberts, who's running for District 5 Board of Supervisors.
Good morning. How's it going?
Oh, the fun never freaking stops here in this world. Clown world, we're back. Okay, so we need to cover a couple things, then we'll get to it. We want to make sure that you know that we're podcasting on Mondays, and those come out on, what, Monday evening and Thursday or something?
I believe it's... Isn't it Tuesday and Thursday?
I thought it was Tuesday at 8 and Thursday at 8.
You're probably right. You're probably right.
You're probably right on the time. I was thinking 7, but yeah, Tuesdays and Thursdays.
All I know is I get a notification because I signed up for the notifications, and when the notification comes up, it tells me that I'm going to be on in a little while, and so I completely ignore myself.
If you're like me, you ignore almost all your notifications.
But you can go to mountaintopmedia.com, and, you know, we have all the podcasts there. I think we're up to like 28 or 29. I'm not sure how many. And we cover a lot of the stuff that we cover on Sundays is there there as well, but we want to make sure that we're getting out there.
But we also are able to get more into depth on the podcast and speak more freely.
Great. Absolutely. So I guess, you know, we're going to be talking about a bunch of stuff in the second half of the hour. You know, we're going to cover the 2,000 mules, if you haven't seen that, the Clinton campaign stuff, Durham investigation, Trump, world crack pipes, Pfizer, all kinds of stuff. And so, but let's get to it. Let's talk to Colt right now. And
before we actually talk to him, I want to take my hat off to him because he was at a fundraiser last night for his guy
opponent.
He's running against his opponent, against Chris. We had a fundraiser. He was there. Not only did he support him, he spent money.
You already took your hat off before you got here.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
I don't think of Chris as an opponent. I think of him more as a friend. He is a friend of mine. I consider him a friend. So
it's kind of interesting. It's kind of like Tim and
that's what we were talking about earlier.
And Dale. Yeah.
It only happened in Shasta County, right?
You know,
that's what I was told by Woody. Yeah. Woody said, only in Shasta County will another candidate come and spend money at their opponent's fundraiser.
Well, I thought it was pretty cool because at that watch party out there the night of the election, you know, I was sitting there on the couch, and I like to listen sometimes a lot more than I talk, believe it or not, and pay attention. Shut up. And so,
sorry, I just had a
And so I was watching, and you know, during the evening, you know, I saw those two guys hug it out a little bit, you know, and I was like, you know, that's pretty freaking cool. You know, when it's not about enemies, it's about people running, putting their best effort forward in a campaign, doing their best, you know, putting out putting forth their positions and their ideas and why they're doing it and so forth. And it doesn't have to be an enemy, spy versus spy thing or nothing.
Yeah. And
you know?
It goes totally against their narrative on the other side because, you know, we're all so violent and everything. And, but everybody gets along on this side.
So with
go
all, so, so with all that said, how are we going to undermine Chris?
I'll leave that to you guys. I'm not going to be doing that today. I like Chris too much for that.
So what do you think, Cole? Why are you doing this? What is the biggest issue in your campaign that you're trying to solve?
Yeah, what made you finally make the decision to run?
So, shoot, it was a couple months ago. My son got off the bus crying because of the masking issues in the school. And I sat back and I was looking at the people who were running. I started going to the Board of Supervisors meetings and watching them online. And I just saw people go there with their concerns. And all the board would say is, you know, this is out of our jurisdiction. That's it. And that's the only answer they got. And they'd ignore them. And it wasn't just like ignoring them. And it wasn't just about the masking. It was about every issue. We've got a huge issue with crime in this county and homelessness. And it was just this arrogant, it doesn't matter what you have to say.
Attitude?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, you guys, the Red, White, and Blueprint released a clip about Modi that sums up all the reasons, everything that I saw.
Yep.
Now, just to clarify, I'm not with the Red, White, and Blueprint.
Oh.
I was with the Shasta General Purpose Committee. Yeah. There's a bunch of groups involved. The recall, I was involved in all of that. But the clip that they did, I was in the clip. And, I do what I do best. I start trouble, you know.
Yeah. But that clip summed up how the last 2 years have gone for anybody who got up there on the podium and spoke to their representatives.
Absolutely. And the ending of that clip.
But I was going to say at the very end, that's what was
the very end, the smug look. Like,
yes.
The smirk.
Take that, you know. Like,
yeah.
Like,
what are
you
going to do about it?
It
really
revealed in that tiny little, you know, encapsulation of time who Modi was, I think, more than anything I've seen.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's a good politician from the perspective that he puts on a good air.
Yeah.
But let's move past Modi. I don't want to talk about Modi.
He's gone now.
He's gone. I don't want to ever think about him again if I can help it. Well, maybe.
So really what this comes down to is public servants. And this is the heart you see of everybody that's been running to actually take back our community and to make it a free, fair place for all of us, where we don't have to worry about whether or not we're going to be subjected to all of these crazy mandates and whims, or if we're going to have our jobs or not. It is public servants that are running. So you see these people that have a servant's heart. We see that you have the last one where Dale was running and where we ended up seeing both parties come together, and they loved each other. They worked with each other. They attended the same rallies together, and they cheered each other on. That's what a public servant does, and that's what we're seeing this is. That's a rally cry around the people here.
Let's go back to Colt.
And that's what we need more of that here.
Yeah.
And that's a show of unity, and I think it's good for the public to see that the public servants, like you say, are running together. You know, we're in this together for a common goal. You know, we're here to listen to the people. That's what representatives are supposed to do.
Right.
Regardless of whether I think this is good for the county or so-and-so thinks this is good for the county, when I've got 50 people coming up saying, this is what we want, this is what we think is best for us, I've got to do what they say. Because that's what our country was founded on. That's one of the principles, you know. They have the right to instruct their representatives. We're supposed to do what they say. We're not supposed to do. Who would I be to sit there and say, you know, I know what's best for your family better than you know?
Well, that's what we've been getting. So basically what you're telling me is that if you get elected to the Board of Supervisors, you need to listen to your constituents after you get voted in?
Exactly.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's exactly the opposite of what Joe Chimente said.
You know, I mean, they say, oh, the experts say this. Well, you know what? The expert is us. The expert is the people who go to work every day. The experts are the taxpayers who are paying the taxes. The experts are the fathers, the mothers. Those are the experts. I'm not going to let a panel of four people I don't know dictate my life for me.
Right.
And I think that everybody else feels the same way in this county.
Well, they're supposed to be representing us, not, it gets backwards what's happening here. Instead of them serving us, they think we serve them. And I think that's the backwards part of it. But, what do you think about, the Constitution and rule of law and, I don't know, Second Amendment stuff?
Oh, you're going to get me in trouble.
That's what I do best.
You're going to get me labeled here. The Constitution is something that's near and dear to me, and my beliefs on the Constitution are this. You need to understand the principles set forth in the Declaration of Independence if you're going to understand the Constitution. You need to understand that these rights are given to us by God, and they created that document and said, hey, these are the rights that every human being is born with naturally. The government cannot touch that. They cannot alter those rights. These are the rights that every living person has. It's the government's duty and sole responsibility to protect those rights.
Wow, that's an interesting. That's like exactly
the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah, exactly the opposite of what's been happening.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
What we're really founded upon.
And in California, you're seeing those rights. The government's taken this position that we gave you those rights, and you must apply for a permit if you want to carry. If you want your right to self-defense, you've got to petition your government for that. And I think that's wrong. Mm-hmm.
Crazy days indeed, isn't it? And
it's amazing how few people are actually, when asked that question, willing to answer that way. Even our sheriffs and people like that who we probably need to have some more conversations with as a public.
Well, I'll give you the explanation for that. They all say, everybody says, well, California state law says this.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's brave enough to say, you know what? Just because of what the California state says is this is law, people are afraid to say, you know what? It's unlawful, and I'm going to stand up against that.
That's awesome.
And the more people that do that sends a message to Sacramento, hey, you guys aren't going to touch this because we're unified on this.
Mm-hmm. No, that's exactly it. That's what we're seeing with the truckers right now. That's what we're seeing all around is we the people make the laws. We the people are what enforces the laws. If we say no, we're not going to do it. We're not going to comply. I mean, our nation was a nation that was built on, I will not comply with your mandates, with your taxes, with the rest of these things that were back from England. And then next thing you know, England wasn't a problem anymore.
Go ahead, sis.
I was going to say, we have the power. Mm-hmm. That's the whole thing, is we do have the power when we stand up together and mm-hmm. don't take this st- stuff from the government.
And it's not an insurrection. It's
no,
not, and that's
it's
what they want
to
call it. You know,
to do.
It's doing. It's being a good citizen.
Being a good steward of our country, and that is our job as the citizens of the United States.
Yes,
that is what we're supposed to do. And yeah.
Yeah, I was kind of a little preoccupied here. I was trying to pull up a couple articles. One from the San Francisco Chronicle that just posted that says one Northern California county, the far right shows it has some power, but they want me to pay for their subscription before I can read the article. So I'm not going to do that because that's like the San Francisco Examiner.
Right. You know? Well, there's a little trick on that. You can just turn around and right click on it, or you can end up freezing it. So if you're ever in that place,
I was trying to get it to do, but it keeps pulling the subscription up, and I can't get rid of it, so I'm not sure why it's doing that. But anyway,
sometimes you can refresh it, and if you stop it at the right time, it won't have the block that pops up.
Oh, well, maybe get a screenshot or something. But the thing is,
you
that
will do as we tell you, or you don't get to read it.
So what I'm looking at here is that we've got one Northern California far right shows that it's has some power, and then the next one, California militia backed recall group may control Shasta County. And, the name calling.
It's disgusting.
It has been, I don't know about you. Are you a far right extremist, white supremacist? Are you a member of the Klan?
My cousin's black. And he's been my best friend since we were kids. So, I mean.
And the funny
thing. I don't
thing
get
is
this. I don't understand.
Well, it's name calling. It's like what they did up in Canada. I mean, what have they been calling the truckers? They're just a bunch of families and working people that want their freedom. They want their choice of the vaccine thing. And what have they been called? They've been called every name in the book to discredit them.
And let's go into that a little bit. So when we're talking about the government mandating a vaccine, what in our lives does the government not have control over? The last thing that they don't have control over is our bodies, and right. Now they're trying to take control over that.
Well, if you don't have control over your body, you don't have control over anything.
No. You're not a free citizen. You're not a sovereign person.
Right.
The thing is if you look at it, they have control over everything. The home that you bought and paid for with cash, if you don't pay your taxes on even after you own it, they'll take it from you.
Right.
Your car, if you don't pay your registration, they'll suspend your driver's license.
I think we've come so far that it's going to take us a while to get back to where we should, but people are starting to get it. They're starting to get educated. I believe there is a great awakening happening even as we speak worldwide, because this is going on across the world where I think you've got a small group of people. It's becoming more and more apparent that want to run everything. Now we could get all conspiratorial and globalists, and I'm not trying to do that. I think all politics are local, and that's what we're talking about here. But the targeting seems to have the same theme across the board, and then we bring it back here to local politics, and it's so interesting that the guy that was recalled, the only one supporting him, it seemed in my opinion, was the Marxists, the leftists, and the socialists.
Yep.
And
that's
then
how it looked from my end, too.
And then the paper's calling him a moderate Republican.
A centrist Republican.
and now he's gone. So what are you bringing to the table? Are you bringing a far right, extremist viewpoint? What is your viewpoint when it comes to governing?
I'm bringing a logical viewpoint that this is what the Declaration of Independence says. This is what the Constitution says. And this is what it says I'm supposed to do. And then we have the people. This is what they tell me they want me to do. So, I mean, it's just a logical viewpoint of conservative governance and constitutional governance.
When you say conservative, does that mean conservative money spending? Let's talk about the budget a little bit. What do you think is going on there in Shasta County?
It's hard to say without a forensic audit on the entire thing. It's hard. I've got it, and I've read some of it. It's hard for the average person to sit down and go through a 625-page budget. But what I would like to see done with that is I would like to see a forensic audit done on that. I would like the taxpayers to know where every penny of their tax dollars are going. And I'd like to say, you know what? Okay, maybe we don't need this program. It's failing. Let's take that money and reallocate it over here. And people are talking about we need a new jail. We need all these things. Well, we need to staff the current jail. After we do that, let's focus on getting a jail. But let's get a jail that solves the problems. The Life Center is probably the best idea that I've heard. That takes money. And I think it's in the existing budget somewhere.
I was going to ask that. Do you think that we would be able to find enough money in our in the budget?
I think so, because Health and Human Services has, like, what, 51 or 52% of that budget?
That's insane.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if we move them over there, let some of that funding go to that.
Well,
running
who,
that.
Well, I think
who knows what else is being spent on what, because we haven't looked at the budget,
yeah.
Really. I mean, they just pass it. They don't dive into it. Find out where the money
well, that's,
is going.
Well, that's a great point. It's like in the last program with Terry and those guys and Kevin Cry, they were talking about how they didn't even look at the budget line by line.
Right.
They passed it in like 5 minutes. You're talking about a $600 million budget, and you don't even want to examine what's in it because it's all being run by the administrative people that are in charge of the money spending.
A budget that was formerly $300 million. The population grew by 10,000, and then it went increased by another $300 million.
Yeah.
Well, it's pretty odd, and you know.
And they don't care what kinds of strings are attached to the monies that they receive and all that, whether it's at the Board of Supervisors level or whether it's the administration above them telling. Mm-hmm. That's been quite evident. That they're saying, what the hell? We'll just take the money anyway.
We should talk about Cardgate, okay?
Oh yes.
Now that is such an interesting thing. Is that before the actual election, that somebody locked the doors to the Shasta County Supervisor's
Well, they didn't
boardroom.
Let their access key.
Well,
they work.
But they did it very selectively. They turned off the keys to Les Baugh and Jones's, so they couldn't get in.
Right.
And then you go, what's that all about?
I don't think I've ever seen Les Baugh that upset. He went on it on that the board meeting. I remember he asked the question, you know, who did it? And everybody's, oh, I don't know. He goes, oh, well, fortunately for you guys, I already called and found out. So
I think we're going to hear more about that as well.
Yeah, I think it's over.
And then you got.
But what is that saying about our local government when one supervisor or two
or three or
a
whoever.
CEO has the power to say two officials, elected officials that were elected by the people, we are going to lock you out.
Right.
And it
we're not
like,
going to hear
yeah.
you.
Well, it wasn't like they were under investigation or anything like
nope.
some of the other ones were at one time. I'm just saying, go ahead.
Well, and mind you, too, in terms of levity of the situation, not only did they lock out these two, they also locked out the candidate that the people had most recently said, we're sending you there to fix the problems these guys are doing. So when you take that into account, you have the will of the people actively being subverted.
Well, I don't know if this was before the recall had actually gone through or not. See, that's the thing. I think it was prior to the election.
It was, but what I'm meaning is Patrick Henry was the most recent person that the people here in our community
saying.
Had recently
yeah.
ended up putting in there. I mean, you have
yeah.
this guy who Modi and the rest of them up there. I mean, gosh, they're fossils. Come on now.
I'm not sure that's
well, I don't know about that, but we know that they're not doing their job and what we elected them
well,
to do.
Well, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
They sit there and just enrich themselves, get all their little minerals, and just turn around and crystallize while the rest of us get screwed off.
I don't think I would put it that way. But that,
they've had 16 years to do something about this jail.
Right.
The jail is obviously not proportionate to our population. And I think they've two or three times they've declined to take up that issue. Well, not take the issue up, but vote it down. The taxpayers voted it down, I think, twice.
Yeah, for no more taxes.
Well,
more,
yeah, because it was going to increase taxes, and it was just unfeasible. They had to have this state-mandated staffing of X amount of people, and it was just absurd for our county. But they've had 16 years to find a resolution to this issue.
Well, it seems like everybody's gotten raises and everybody's doing pretty good.
And just now, right before the election, no, we got a plan. Well, where was this plan 60?
Well, there's been no plan.
We got a plan now.
Yeah, we're on it now.
God, that
sounds
familiar.
And with that, we'll take a break. And there's some questions in the chat room. When we come back, maybe you can answer. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
Falling too fast to prepare for this. Tripping in the world could be dangerous. Everybody circling as vultures. Negative, nepotist. Everybody waiting for the fall of man. Everybody praying for the end of times. Everybody hoping they could be the one. I was born to run, I was born for this.
Whip, whip, run me like a racehorse. Pull me like a ripcord. Break me down and build me up. I wanna be the slip, slip. Word upon your lip, lip. Ready that you rip, rip. Break me down and build me up. Whatever.
Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage is having a grand opening Saturday, February 26th from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. at their new location in the Shasta Gateway Center at 1773 Highway 273 in Anderson. They will be featuring new and existing vendors, along with a variety of collectibles from around the world, with jewelry, Tiffany lamps, antique desks and dressers, and much more. Free drawings throughout the day. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage grand opening Saturday, February 26th from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. at their new location in the Shasta Gateway Center, 1773 Highway 273, Anderson.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
It's never too late to start at Shasta College. Late start classes and 8-week compressed classes are still available. To learn more about upskilling or reskilling for a current job or career, information is online at shastacollege.edu or call one of our counselors to see how easy it is to get enrolled at 530-242-7650. Shasta College offers in-person, hybrid, and online class options to fit your busy life and responsibilities. Financial aid is available. More at shastacollege.edu.
Blue plate special. When the man in the next booth said, don't you watch TV? Don't you know that God's a myth? I hate to see you waste your breath, 'cause there ain't no use talking to a ghost that don't exist. The praying man said amen and looked up from his blade and said, you may not talk to God right now, but there's gonna come a day. 'Cause whether you're a farmer in the field, praying for the rain, or you curse him at the graveside, 'cause he called a loved one's name, you can thank him, you can blame him, either way you're gonna face him. Whether you believe in him or not, 'cause in the end, everybody talks to God.
Sovereign Mind Radio, home of the Free Fire Media, community radio for North State, your talk radio. You can listen to 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. That's a little Aaron Lewis coming back at you. I like that song. It's the first time I heard it this morning.
There's a lot of good stuff. There's
some good stuff. Yeah. You know, coming from Stained to this has been a transition, isn't it?
but he definitely has songs from the heart.
He does.
Absolutely. Yeah. Good stuff there. So, getting back to questions, we've got a couple questions in the chat room. What are you going to do for Manton and Shingletown with regards to, you know, internet, fire safety, crime, lack of law enforcement, that type of thing?
So I could start at lack of law enforcement. One of the things that they just recently adopted was sign-on bonuses for law enforcement to get people in the jail, to get more officers, because they are short-staffed. So once that issue is addressed, I think they'll see an improvement in that. As far as the issues, I would like to, if elected, I would like to go up to those places at least once a month, get around every town, Happy Valley, Cottonwood, Anderson, Shingletown, Manton, Viola, go up there at least once a month, have basically a community input, like a meet and greet night, and figure out what their issues are and just listen to what they have to say. Let them instruct me. You know, it's something that they haven't been able to do for a long time with the board that we have.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's been going up there and meeting with the citizens regularly for quite a while.
Well, that's one thing I asked. I talked to somebody from Manton about a month ago. And I said, have you guys ever even seen a supervisor up here? He goes, no, we haven't. So I said, well, hopefully I can change that. So
I actually have some clients that are in Manton now, interestingly enough. I'll get some feedback from them when I'm seeing them.
Yeah,
I'll be
seeing
them pretty soon, yeah.
And with that, we do have a caller on the line. We've got Ron. Good morning, Ron.
Hello?
Yeah.
You're on the air, Ron.
Okay, I had a little say on the last program, too, but I didn't really get a chance to finish because I want to take up the time. You kind of answered some of my questions, but my public servants, I want to be total constitutionalist, and that includes our sheriff. I want him to be, or him or her, to be able to explain the word infringed. I want him to be able to explain the word protect. And I've recently had a little bit of problem here, so I'm not going to go into it a whole lot, but I've been talking to some of my friends, and this is kind of what a lot of them want. A lot of my friends are probably Bible-thumping, gun-toting rednecks.
Well, you're probably a white supremacist, too.
So
I think you need to get down to the studio.
You know what I want to hear the phrase explained to me is the right to keep and bear. You know what I'm saying? Because,
yes, I do.
Yeah.
And it also includes the word infringed.
Well, I can explain that to you. I think I explained it at the candidate forum there in Cottonwood.
I know what it means, but I want the sheriff to explain it, too. I want the district attorney to explain it as well.
Well, you know,
I want the Highway Patrol to explain it.
It's kind of like this, Ron. You know, I don't think they care to what it means, really. I think they care about their power. I was in court for, I think it was a traffic violation years ago, mm-hmm. and I asked the judge. I said, under the Constitution, it says that I have the right to a jury trial over $25 or whatever.
Not in traffic court.
Well, you know, she says I interpret the Constitution different, and I was thinking, I didn't know it was your job to interpret the Constitution.
Yeah.
So, but that's what we're dealing with.
Exactly.
Like I said, I just want them to be a total constitutionalist, and I have a Colt. I also got a Winchester, too.
I've got them.
We've got a Colt in the studio here.
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah.
So I'm willing to use it, but I don't want to go to jail just because I stood up for my rights.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I'm 100% with you.
Okay.
I own firearms, too. I love firearms. Mm-hmm. I actually build them, and for myself, you know, I go buy the parts and stuff. But what we're seeing in California is you pretty much don't have a Second Amendment in California in regards to California state law. And that's got to change. And we're going to have to change it. It's not going to be easy to change. We're going to have to change it one county at a time. We don't have any representation in the North State. That's our biggest problem.
So what do you think about a Second Amendment a sanctuary county here?
I'm 100% for that.
Yep. Okay.
I vote for that every time, yes.
That's kind of where I'm coming from as well.
I truly believe in open carry or constitutional carry. However you feel comfortable carrying is how you should be able to carry.
Yep. That's
and I believe that's how you can. That's what our Constitution says. You have the right to keep and bear arms.
And I don't think it should be at the discretion of the sheriff.
No, that's a lot of power for one person. And, you know, what are we to do when that power is not enough?
Mm-hmm. Or the power isn't being done correctly.
Or it's abused, exactly.
Yeah.
Have you got any other questions, Ron?
No, I think that ought to handle it. I don't want to talk too much about it because I had a little problem a while back. So
I understand.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Hey,
all right,
thanks
for calling in. We appreciate it. So I want to address the Second Amendment. Didn't they vote that they would not?
They would never hear it again, yeah.
Okay, so it...
Leonard Modi made the motion at the very end of a meeting after the public had already left.
Right. So my question is...
Brave.
Yes.
Can it be brought back to the board? I mean,
yes.
That's
with a new board, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Well, because they can put those in place as long as they have
right.
the voting block to do it. But you can unwind those things as soon as another
exactly.
board is in there. And that's the same for the state of Jefferson stuff. You know, and I'm not even promoting it at this point as much as I'm saying, listen, there was no call for that state of Jefferson vote. All they wanted to do was present to the board, evidence to look at. To
this was in 2014. Right?
I believe so, yeah. And it was voted down, so they could never bring it up without 4-1 vote. And that just put a bad taste in everybody's mouth because they weren't asking them to join the state of Jefferson. They were just asking them to look at what
to
they
do
were
a presentation,
presenting.
Yeah.
Exactly.
To go up there and talk on it and just,
And they actually got the information, the Board of Supervisors, and some of them stated that they had reviewed it. And everything, which they had not.
Yeah. Gee, that's a lie? Wow, imagine
about
that.
State of Jefferson. I'm just saying. And then they took the vote to do that.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't be presented to the people
well,
of the community.
That goes back to, I'm here, I'm from the government, and I'm here to help.
Yeah. We reviewed it for you, and we've decided it's probably not good for you to hear.
Yeah, you just don't understand. You're not smart enough to understand what's going on, and so
that's
you
the
know
biggest
the rights and all that stuff. You know, just kind of forget about that and do whatever you're told. Put this mask on while you're at it. And you know, it goes back to where your rights come from. And I think you hit on a good point about why do your rights come from God? Whether you're religious or not, I don't think it actually matters, although I think it's important and personally.
Yeah, it's extremely important to actually truly believe in that document, to understand that your rights don't come from government. They don't come from the governor, the president.
And I think the reason that they don't, and that was put in the document, is not so much for religious purpose. People get that confused. It's because if your rights come from the governor or the Board of Supervisors or the sheriff, they have the power to take them away from you.
Exactly.
And they already knew that.
Yep.
They had dealt with that.
They had dealt with that. Look at their list of grievances, and I challenge anybody to do this. Go in the Declaration of Independence. Read the list of grievances and put a check mark by everyone that's being replicated today.
Violated.
And you will see
a bunch of black marks, are you saying?
Yes. You're going to go, man, why haven't we had this yet?
Well, you know, when we first started the Tea Party back when, and I forget who it was, they
AstroTurf.
Well, there's a document, and I have it somewhere, that you should give any of your elected officials that they have to be able to answer these questions.
I think that was a sheriff. I think that was a Sheriff Mack thing, wasn't it?
Maybe about the Constitution, and if they can't pass this, then maybe they shouldn't be in office.
Wasn't it like a fifth or sixth grade test on the Constitution, like a fifth or sixth grade level test?
Yeah,
it wasn't something extremely intricate.
Now,
when
I was a kid, we were required. You couldn't get out of seventh grade, I believe it was, or graduate from eighth grade, whatever it was, until you passed the Constitution test.
Well, now they teach you that the Supreme Court tells you what the Constitution means. That's what they teach you nowadays.
We do have another caller. We've got Jimmy on the line. Good morning,
Jimmy.
Hello. Hey, how's it going, folks? He wants to solve crime and help crime by putting more people in the jail, more guards and stuff. Is that correct?
That's not going to solve the crime. More proactive policing on the streets will solve the crime. But we need to get the staffing issue in the jail, because what happens is they're saying, the jail's at 90% capacity, or you hit these capacity levels. But the state is mandating you have to have X amount of correctional officers per unit, per shift, in order to house this many people. And that's one of the problems that they're having. And they try and sue us for it, is what happens.
Okay, I wanted to get that straight because I misunderstood what you said, so I wanted to call in and get that straight.
So technically, right now, our jail is not full. Only, I believe, only the sex offender and that wing is at max capacity, I believe. But they can't staff the other ones because our gracious governor decided to pass down these COVID mandates to them. So they can only hold it at a certain percentage.
Well, that's another one that could be overridden at the board level.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because I'll tell you what, if I the first thing that I'm going to request if I'm speaking at the board is I want the end to the Emergency Authorization Act. I want this emergency to end, and it's going to all it takes is a 3-2 vote on that board, and this whole thing's in, and now the county's back in control, and if the people are participating with the Board of Supervisors, that means the people are back in control.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then I fully understand what you're saying, and I agree with you. That's awesome. Now, one more thing I'd like to throw out there before I get off the air is, now, they built a new courthouse, a 5-story building with all the mod cons, after wanting tax money from the residents of Shasta County, wanting to build a jail, because we need more jail space, and the tax proposition did not go through. And they turn around and they build this huge, you know, jail, as Stephanie Bridget says, oh, we need more administrative people. Well, it's not going to do any good to have a big, giant courthouse, another one, if you have no place to put these people. So why couldn't we have taken the funds to build that courthouse and put more people in the jail, the guards or whatever, and built more jail space instead of having more, you know, lawyers and, you know, whoever sponging up more county tax money?
Why are you using logic to argue what the government does?
Right.
I mean, no, I agree with you 100%. I think they secured that through a grant, if I'm not mistaken. But there's strings attached to all of those. So if they were so eager to build this courthouse, they say, oh, yes, now we can sentence 50-plus more people per day. Well, what good does that do us when they have to just go in there, sign their paperwork, and then walk right out of the jail? So it doesn't do us any good. I'm with you 100% on that.
Well,
all right,
Jimmy.
Cool. Well, I just wanted to throw that out there. Good show, and I'll talk to you guys later.
All right, thanks for calling in. We appreciate it.
It's even more egregious than that on that courthouse because they forgot to add in a freaking holding cell.
Yeah.
What do you
mean?
Can you imagine that?
Logic.
Hey, you just chain them out in the parking lot. What the hell's up?
Like the horses, like you got the little D-rings on the sidewalk.
Yeah, well, it'll be cheap that way. You just get some horse rails or whatever.
Here, Mr. Criminal, just come sit on my lap. We don't have any other room for you.
Boy, that was, I'm not sure what that was.
Wow, out of left field there, buddy. I'm just saying.
Well, is that the logic they're using? Like, really? Because that's basically what it works out to. Oh, we're just going to have this guy that might have just murdered somebody. He's just going to sit here next to you.
We'll just give you your crack pipe and shut up. Okay? Yeah. And with that, we've
got a caller on the line. Moving right along.
We've got another caller on the line. We've got Terry. Good morning, Terry.
Yeah, good morning. How you doing, Cole?
Good. How are you doing, Terry?
I've got a question. Here's the thing. You were talking about rights. You've been talking about the Declaration of Independence. We're talking about how our rights come from God, and I think it's great that a young man like yourself is so knowledgeable, probably more knowledgeable than most people when it comes to all this stuff. Here's the thing that really bothers me, and it's sort of an elephant in the room for me. We keep talking about the constitutional sheriff, and the sheriff needs to follow the Constitution.
It's a brand. Yeah.
Our sheriff said that he is a Second Amendment supporter and an advocate for the right of the Second Amendment. However, he will not allow open carry, even with a permit. And we can get a 26-150 P2 permit for open carry in the county.
Of under 200,000 people, yes.
And that's according to California law. How does this sheriff say he is a constitutional sheriff? How does he say that he believes in the right of the Second Amendment, but won't allow anything? And I think it really goes to your point. When you were saying, how is a sheriff above the law? This is crazy. To me, it's crazy. I just want to know what you think.
I think the same thing you think, Terry. And my question is when you say that you support all these documents, but yet you're going to wield that power to say, you know what, I believe in this, but I'm not going to allow it. So, I mean, that's a
How
lot of
power.
What I'm saying
yeah.
is
yeah.
that's a lot of power for one person to possess. And our Constitution didn't give any person that power. That's the thing, is it didn't give one person that power.
But that's why he's elected an official. Oh, wait.
That yeah. one wasn't.
Yeah, well, the last
the whole
three...
Point is that the whole point is that it doesn't seem like anybody's calling him out on this. I keep hearing about, well, gosh, you know, this guy is a great guy. Well, he probably is a great guy. He seems like a nice enough guy, but nobody's calling this guy out for what he says. Nobody's calling this guy out for not allowing us to have a constitutionally protected right. Are you serious? And even with the opportunity where he could go with an open carry permit, because he can do that, even according to California law, and he won't do it because he won't allow it, how come we're the only ones talking about this? How come we don't have other people bringing this up? How come he doesn't answer for this?
How
or
come?
Answer exactly how can you explain that?
I can't. I'm not him. I can only tell you exactly what I would do.
Well, and
I would issue, if I was the sheriff, I would just say, you know, I don't want to have control over this. This is everybody's individual rights.
I think the point that Terry's making is everybody needs
control over the sheriff. Yeah.
I think the point that Terry's making is everybody needs to start talking about this
exactly,
at every
yeah.
level. The right. guys who are running for supervisor,
right.
all the above, us,
all of the office.
All right. Everybody needs to start. And this, I think you're right, Terry. I think this is going to start coming out more and more now that we can focus our attention, turn our guns, so to speak, figuratively, on the different issues that are important.
Exactly.
You're right about all of that, and I think that, you know, Carl Botch had pointed out. I think everybody should point it out. I mean, what do you mean by that? What in the hell do you mean by that? How can you have the right to oversee and take away a right?
From that's, another person, yeah.
I mean, from another person. And so anyway, I'll leave it with that, but I that's exactly what I was trying to say, Mark, is how come people aren't just shouting from the rooftops on this?
I agree. And it's not yeah. if they can take it away from me, it's not a right anymore. It's a privilege.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, yeah. Well,
the point is that he believes in the right. Anyway,
he does, yeah.
Go.
I mean, that's the point.
Yeah, it's plain and simple, Terry.
It's
pretty either you believe it or you don't. That's what it is.
There's lies, there's damn lies, and there's
right.
politicians.
You can water it down as much as you want, but
it's
at
like,
the end of the day,
hey,
you either believe in the Second Amendment or you don't.
Hey, it's like the Board of Supervisors are moderate Republicans, Terry.
Exactly.
Centrist.
But see, it's not even a matter of belief. It's not even a matter of whether you believe in it or not. It's a matter of you can't take away a right
yeah.
or restrict a right with your opinion or
exactly.
your authority. That's the crazy ass part about this.
Well, I wanted to make a public service announcement. I wanted to make a public service announcement,
yeah.
Terry, about the property that that's beachfront property that I have in Arizona for sale. And it's really cheap, and I'm campaigning on the next ticket with that thing.
Thank you, you guys.
Thanks, Terry.
Calling
thanks,
in,
Terry.
And we
thank
do
you.
Have another caller.
All right, thanks, Terry.
We've got Nick. Good morning, Nick.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for getting me on. Hey, I wanted to clear up about the jail and the new court center, the courthouse they're building. I believe it was $200 million. It might have been $20 million, but it was a grant from the state, and that's what the money had to be used on.
Yes, that's what I thought it was, but I didn't know 100%.
Okay, well, that's the way that was. I doubt if we could have built a jail with it.
Yeah.
What people should be angry about is that with all that money spent in that big building, we're only gaining one courtroom.
Yep.
And that's just absolutely disgusting. Now, Colt made a statement that if I had the opportunity, I wouldn't vote for him, and that is he likes the navigation center. It's my belief we should build a jail for people that have broken the law, and that social services should take care of the addiction problem and build a center for them. You need to separate the two, in my opinion.
So what would the only reason I like the idea of doing that is because they're going to be at one facility, and you can use part of their budget to fund that jail, and they can assess these people on intake.
I don't like that.
You don't?
I don't like that. When you break the law, you should go to the judicial system.
Well, that's the thing, they're going to have to go.
Maybe you can make a lucid decision to go to the navigation center, to go someplace where you can get help. But when your judge sentences you to a rehab, it doesn't work.
Well, then how do we solve the homeless problem?
Well, the first thing you do is you build a jail and get the criminals taken care of.
Well, you can't incarcerate all homeless people.
Take care of 50% of the homeless.
If they're not breaking the law, you can't incarcerate them.
You can when they take and steal a catalytic converter off your car.
Yes,
you
can.
That's breaking the
law. Actually, in California, I don't think that's even a felony anymore, so they'll be catch and release.
It's a felony, Colt. A misdemeanor is punishable by up to 364 days in jail and or up to a $1,000 fine. The reason they're writing citations is because they don't have room in jail.
Maybe you just make it a part of their probation commitments after they're done, something like that.
Because the reality of what's going to happen is in Shasta County, they're just going to be released within probably 6 hours.
Right. So maybe you make it a part of the probation commitment after.
Well, that's because we don't have jail space.
Well, yeah. Nick, in addition to that, also the other thing that people don't understand is we have a horrible AG. We have somebody that actually can turn around and take on these cases or not. And what happens is these officers will go out there, they'll write somebody up, and the AG will just say, yeah, I'm not going to prosecute on this because we got to be able to do this.
In the jail, the officer could take them to jail, and they could hold them.
The problem with just throwing people in jail is we can build this massive jail, but it's just going to fill up if we don't find some solution to this problem. And then we'll be dealing with the same problem with a $200 million jail.
We're going to be hard-nosed on them. They'll quit hanging around here.
I don't disagree, but
yeah. Anyway, we got to move on. So we got about 4 minutes left. Excuse me. So
4 minutes, I could argue.
Well, thanks for the argument.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you.
So what I want to do is I want to have Colt get all his information out there for District 5. I know I've got you pulled up here on Facebook, and so if people want to get more information from you, they can go to your Facebook page. It's Colt Roberts for Shasta County Supervisor 2022. Anything else you want to add to it, Colt?
No, I've got a wife. I've got two kids. I'm busy. I work full time. So this is an issue I really care about and trying to solve this issue of crime. I want to see basically the reason I did this is my kids are watching every move I make. They're watching every step. And I need to set an example for them. And at the end of the day, they're going to be able to say, you know, my dad fought to help secure our rights.
To
do something. He didn't stand there. And I want to raise them to do the same thing because this fight doesn't end here at this board or at this generation.
You know, the real deal, thing to take away from all of this is get involved. No matter
get
what.
Involved.
Yeah, get involved, whether it's running for supervisor, county board,
school board,
you know,
That's
whatever.
That's what I was going to say. One
district
thing
attorney?
That has happened with this recall and what's going on right now is people are starting to see what's going on in the county. And they want to get involved and get in these positions where we didn't have that 2 or 3 years ago and longer.
It has also revealed a lot of things. Now, I got a quote here from that article that I was talking about earlier it's very interesting in this Chronicle article that they talk about these are the supporters of the recall, you know, is being supported by white supremacists basically, but they're drunk with power or drunk on the idea of tearing everything down without a plan for how they're going to build it back up. And that quote comes from Reading residents Judy Salter, a Democrat and community activist who joined the locals in both parties to organize an anti-recall movement called Shasta Forward. Now, Lee Salter just happens to be, I think, the CEO of McConnell Foundation, I think it is.
Something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
Nothing going on here.
Yeah, so the good old boy club, it's interesting. So the moderate Republicans are being, you know, recalled by the conservative Republican people and supported by the left-wing activists, but they're still somehow
centrists.
And my point is, that's what's being revealed with all of this, is we're starting to find out who's who.
Yeah, I've got a website. My website is robertsfor5.com, robertsfor5.com. I've got a Facebook page. And email me.
We're at the end. We got, there you go.
I was going to say, Indian Dave, if you want to hang on, we will answer your call on the other side of the break, but right. We are at the top of the hour. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM. But I won't back down.
No, I'll stand my ground, won't be turned around, and I'll keep this world from dragging me down. Gonna stand.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. There are no reported breakthroughs in the Ukraine crisis following President Biden's phone call with Russian President Vladimir Putin yesterday. Here's White House correspondent Greg Clugston.
Hoping to prevent war in Europe, the president warned Putin that the West would respond decisively to any invasion of Ukraine. The White House said Mr. Biden said a military attack would produce widespread suffering and isolate Moscow. The two presidents spoke for a little more than an hour on Saturday, but a senior administration official said there was no fundamental change in the situation. Greg Clugston, Washington.
Some airlines have halted or diverted flights to Ukraine amidst the heightened fears that an invasion by Russia is imminent. Despite ongoing talks, there are some predictions that could happen before the week is over. Elsewhere in the world, U.S. F-22 fighter jets have arrived in the United Arab Emirates.
Officials didn't say how many of the first fighter wing jets out of Joint Base Langley-Eustis, Virginia, joined an American defense response to recent missile attacks by Yemen's Houthi rebels targeting the country. The Raptors landed Saturday at Al Dhafra Air Base in Abu Dhabi, which hosts some 2,000 U.S. troops. American soldiers there launched Patriot interceptor missiles in response to the Houthis' attacks last month. The USS Cole also is deployed to the UAE. Rhonda Rockster reporting.
Authorities say a man shot and wounded five people in a southeastern Wisconsin city, then killed himself as police closed in. The Racine Police Department says officers responded to a report of shots fired at 2 a.m. this morning, saw people fleeing, and encountered a man with a gun after a brief foot chase. Police negotiated with the man for several minutes, but in the end, he turned the gun on himself. None of the people he shot appear to have life-threatening injuries. No police were hurt. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Did you know that the FTC reported a 45% increase in fraud and identity theft claims in 2020? Our increased digital lives and shift to remote work have created easy targets for scammers. Staying safe may feel daunting, but protection for you and your family is easier than you think with Identity Guard. Plus, there's no better time to get started. Identity Guard is offering listeners a free 30-day trial. Visit identityguard.com/newstalk today for a free 30-day trial. That's identityguard.com/newstalk.
Cultural Marxism is spreading like wildfire in America, but did you know that this so-called woke ideology is also flooding into the church?
Reparations fits into the scope of the gospel.
Watch the documentary, How the Left is Stealing Your Church, and discover how the ideology behind critical race theory and the LGBT agenda is being smuggled into the evangelical world. Stream it now for $9.99 or get the DVD for $12.99. Go to salemnow.com or look for the Salem Now app.
Republican state lawmakers across the U.S. are pushing schools to post all course materials online so parents can take a look. Here's correspondent Ken Lorman.
It's part of a broader national push by the GOP for a sweeping parents' bill of rights. At least one proposal would give parents power over curriculum choices. Parents also could file complaints about certain lessons and, in some cases, sue school boards. The bills arose from last year's debate over the teaching of race, diversity, and sexuality. The GOP says the changes are needed to give parents a measure of control over what their children see and hear in the classroom. Ken Lorman reporting.
An enraged mob stoned to death a middle-aged man for allegedly desecrating the Quran in a remote village in eastern Pakistan. The custodian of a local mosque turned him in, apparently. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. A Telenor Myanmar customer has complained to Norway's data protection agency that a planned sale to the business risks a big data breach.
After the military ousted Myanmar's elected government last year, Norway's Telenor Group announced it would sell its business there. Final details of the sale remain unclear, but the complaint by a Myanmar resident contends such a sale would endanger the privacy of all of Telenor Myanmar's 19 million customers. Telenor Myanmar is subject to Myanmar laws, but as a member of the European Economic Area, Norway has pledged compliance with more stringent European standards for protection of privacy. Jeremy House reporting.
Today is Sunday, February the 13th, and some famous people are celebrating a birthday, including actress Kim Novak, 89 years old. Senator Richard Blumenthal, the Connecticut Democrat, is 76. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Coming.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, it's been pretty warm the last couple of days, and I hope we get some rain.
Man,
we need it really bad.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be lonely days for some people.
Lonely days and lonely nights.
Yeah, for some people, pretty soon.
All right, so let's go back. We need you to give your email out if you want to for contact purposes.
It is
contact number.
All lowercase, ColtRobertsD5@gmail.com.
And I believe that's on your Facebook
page.
Yeah,
it's on my
way.
Facebook page and on my website, maybe.
What's your website?
Roberts45.com. That's Roberts45.com.
All right.
And do you want to give out a phone number?
Oh, yeah, I can. My phone number is 530-604-5737.
Don't say we didn't warn you.
That might be our caller calling back.
Okay, so we'll get to our caller if this is her, and then we'll do a little bit of mental health, and then we got to move on to some of the other big headlines we got to cover.
All righty.
All right. So talk about the mental health while we're waiting on the caller.
Yeah, so one of the things that we had actually gone over, because this is something that's near and dear to my heart as well, and in talking with Colt, it actually ended up coming out, and I think that we needed to go ahead and clarify some of the things, because I was the same way as Nick was, as, hey, I don't just want them to get a pass with this mental health portion of it. Yeah, they're going to go to rehab, and they're going to get help during that time if they want it, but they're also going to spend their time in jail.
Exactly.
So you're going to basically go out, and you're going to get the help that you need, and you're going to go back to jail, and hopefully when you're done, you're going to be in a better position than when you ended up first going in.
If they fail out of their program, that voluntary program, they go back and start their sentence over in jail. So,
I think you can put some carrot and stick things there to get them.
Yeah, personal
in the right
accountability
room.
Is what
right.
It comes down to.
I agree.
I mean, I've had my truck broken into 2 months ago, had all my tools stolen out of it.
Yeah, so, it happened to my son out there.
I was livid.
Out there in Happy Valley or off of Gas Point Road. I mean, they went in and stole everything out of his truck in the middle of the night. And now he's got a big locked trailer.
I do too. I got
a
big old job box.
Yeah, otherwise you can't.
Bolted down.
Yeah.
Well, and this is the thing, too, that we have some serious problems in our country right now when it comes to actually going after the people that are doing these criminal things. You have somebody that smokes weed and they get 6 years in prison and now they can't provide for their family.
It's a sign of the times because they're not prosecuting criminals at all on purpose.
Well, and this is to my point. So it used to be back in the old days that if you steal a man's horse, you were hung up. I mean, that was basically the way it was. That's still on the books.
There had to be substantial consequences in order for deter it, you know. And now
Travis is laughing because it's still on the books today in Red Bluff. That if you steal a man's horse, that you're going to be hung up. That's still there.
And now they just send you crack pipes and needles and they buy the crack pipes in China, you know
and
what I mean?
And give them a place to live. So
let's go to our caller and then
we'll
move on.
We've got Indian Dave on the line, I believe. Good morning.
Hey, I had a question about homeless. What was his idea about what to do with the homeless? And one other thing is, why aren't we, instead of just citing these people that are taking all the trash down to these that ruin our river, why aren't we making them mandatory to pick up the trash when when we go down to clean up? Why don't they pick it up? Why do they just walk away and then come back to a clean area and then dirty it all up again? What's the deal?
Because we have a DA that won't prosecute those things. That's one of the issues.
I think we need a Sheriff Arpaio approach on some of this
stuff.
Right,
yeah,
but
exactly.
I think it's illegal in California.
It is.
Because
I think you can't
rights.
Make them work anymore. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're right on that.
Yeah.
And it's
we
sad.
Need to change all that stuff.
We do.
There need to be punishment.
Exactly.
And then there need
right.
to be consequences. And it's not and when you go to jail, it's not a break from life so you get three hots and a cot.
Nope.
You
should bring back the chain gang or like you say, like Sheriff Apar, put them in the pink tents and the pink. Yeah.
I'm not sure about the chain gang. I'd have to think about that one.
Back,
but yeah.
They need to give back to the community double
the
of what they hurt.
Work gang.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah.
So this is.
I believe that.
I 100% believe in punishment and making them give back double of what they did to the community.
Have you got anything else, Dave?
Okay. Yeah, there was another issue about our whole neighborhood, like probably 12 streets down here have been hit every day for stealing the mail every day. Your mailbox is open. The mail is scattered all over the street or wherever. The mail is just useless. But we've called the authorities about it. They said call the postal. We called the postal, and they said, well, you know, we'll investigate it, but they haven't done it yet. My friend was going to put a big mouse trap in his mailbox.
I'm all for community-oriented solutions.
Well, see, here's what I think. I think they're doing this on purpose to push us into the point where the people start taking care of business themselves,
yep.
and then they want to prosecute those
the people.
People.
Yep, the law abiding.
Yeah, exactly.
The law-abiding people who have had enough.
Attorney,
yeah,
they
want
assume.
To slap a felony on you for doing anything
exactly.
to actually
protecting
protect
your
own
property.
Thing.
They
yeah.
protect the criminals.
Right.
And
right.
that's exactly
but
what
we don't
it
have
is
a justice
felony.
System anymore.
Well, that's
what
he's
messing system. With the mail is a felony
well, it is,
in itself, and that would go back to our
well,
DA, I would
that's exactly
think.
Right.
Well, and mail and ballots
exactly.
are so secure, right?
Well,
they ship me my gun in the mail?
Exactly.
Anyway, we got to have a DA that's going to prosecute them, and we got to and maybe make some ordinances with the new.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff we got to get involved in with this new board of supervisors.
Exactly.
And start cleaning
and hold
house.
Hold all our feet to the fire. Me, everybody, all these elected officials. Just because you got somebody you think you trust, you still got to be proactive.
Okay, we're ready
yeah,
to move on,
let's
Dave.
Let's go get them. All right.
All right. Thanks
for calling
in. All right. We appreciate it.
I want to set up this first thing that I got to run here. This is if you
I
have.
I think before that, I think we're going to go ahead. Are we letting Colts gone? And
yeah, Colt.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for coming
I'm
in.
I'm getting out of here. Thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. Very
stay
good.
Stay tuned. He will be on our podcast this next week.
Tomorrow.
So we'll
yeah.
be diving deeper into things.
Thank
so.
You.
All right.
Thank thanks, you, guys. Sister, for at least having someone here having manners besides me.
thanks
all
again,
right. thanks,
Colt.
Dave.
We appreciate
guys.
It.
Thanks, Colt. Yeah. Thanks, Dave. Thanks, Colt. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Let's go, Brandon.
All right, let's go, Brandon. There we go. Cool. All right. All right, very good. See you later, Cole. Okay, so I want to set this up. If you haven't Googled 2,000 Mules, it's not the video music that you're looking for. Okay, there's a 2,000 something, but it's a video on music, but that's not what you're looking for. You're looking for 2,000 Mules that is a trailer that is coming out for a movie done by Dinesh D'Souza.
Right.
And I think this is going to be a huge thing. We will find out.
And he does very well with the information. His information
well,
is
his,
pretty solid.
His documentaries have always been
yeah.
very professional, spot on. I think this investigation is going to blow some people's minds. But let's go ahead and play this trailer, and then you can judge for yourself what you think. Let me make sure I got all the volume up. Here we go.
The 2020 election was the most secure in U.S. history.
Go ahead and turn it up
there
a little bit.
There has been no evidence of widespread voter fraud. He lost a fair and secure election.
The most secure election in American history.
Really?
All those of you who volunteered and worked the polls, you deserve a special thanks from the entire nation.
Thank you.
This one mule made 53 trips to 20 drop boxes. He's not alone. We tracked 2,000 mules making multiple ballot drops. Leaving no fingerprints. Snapping photos to get paid. A coordinated ring of illegal vote harvesting in all the key states where the election was decided.
They delivered us a clear victory.
Game over.
Now, you have to watch the trailer to see the visuals. They've got these guys on camera. They got them taking off their gloves after taking pictures of stuffing the boxes. They've got the cell phone routes that they mapped out on each one of these guys to each of the drop boxes. And when you add up 2,000 mules and they're stuffing the boxes and they're getting paid, this is a huge coordinated effort by somebody who's paying these guys to steal the election. Now, who would benefit from that? I think this is going to be earth-shattering when this finally comes out. And I don't think that D'Souza is, sensationalizing any of this. I think they got the hard evidence on these guys. And I think this is going to be a revelation that the election was stolen. They have the proof. It's a incontrovertible proof. And now what?
Well, and this, once again, begs the question, now what? When are we going to start seeing these people be prosecuted? When are we going to start actually, as a people, coming out and taking back our country and actually demanding that justice be done on all of these things? I mean, why have we seen Hillary take a pass all of these times, and now she's back in the news? What about this whole situation? I mean, guys, think about this. The biggest portion of the story is not just Ashley Babbitt getting shot, which, by the way, the news media lied to you about January 6th because she was actually telling the protesters and the people breaking in not to do that. She was telling them to get more police there. She was actually on the side of the police, and she got shot for it.
Well, there's even more to it. Go ahead,
Sarah. Yeah, I was going to say, so if this is going to come out and prove that they did steal the election, so everything gets walked back. Correct? So,
well, I don't know. Does it?
It should. So maybe prosecutions. I'm getting to prosecute. Yeah, I believe that people should be prosecuted. They should have started happening long ago.
And
maybe this is like the house of cards. It's going to fall. Then we get people in there that have the backbone to start prosecuting these people.
Because
now, the power is out of their hands.
Well, now there's another thing going on here too with these bombs that they found at the RNC headquarters and the DNC headquarters. You can watch Tucker Carlson. He did a segment on it. Dan Bongino did a segment on it. And it's like these guys are planting bombs at
this guy. So let me.
The guy, you're right, yeah.
Let me break this down for you guys. This guy is such a good gosh darn professional that he doesn't leave any fingerprints. His cell phone is apparently untrackable.
No,
well, think about this. His cell phone is apparently untrackable, whereas everybody else who went to January 6th or even was on the premises of the area on January 6th, they got visits tracked back all the way across their country to their homes where the FBI showed up and started questioning them and inquiring of them. If they even stepped a foot on the Capitol grounds where they shouldn't have been, they ended up having these people get arrested. Now, we also see that Kamala Harris, they say they believe her whereabouts was the DNC building that was there. They don't know for certain, but the reason that's important is the whole reason why we have hundreds of political prisoners right now, still to this day, who have been held in solitary confinement, treated unfairly, not given a trial, is because of a false premise and a false lie that they couldn't be there at the building.
Let's play just a few minutes of this clip from Tucker Carlson. I got my volume actually to work this time, so it'll be a little louder, I hope.
Thank you.
And, it wouldn't pull up the tab for some reason. So anyway, this was on Tucker Carlson. We'll play a few minutes of this and you'll get the idea that there's some strange things going on here in Denmark, and I think they stink. And then we'll talk about the Durham investigation with Hillary and all of that and how that's starting to blow up into something as well. Okay, so here's Tucker Carlson tonight. Let's listen to a few minutes. We're not going to get the whole thing. It's like 8 minutes. But this will give us a taste of what it's about, and you can do your own homework.
Well, here's something very weird. So we have spent so much time and attention and tax dollars devoted to investigating every event of January 6th. We have a committee still impaneled. You probably think you know everything about that day. Maybe not the little things, what was every cop's name, but certainly the big things. For example, like where was Kamala Harris at 1 p.m. on January 6th? We know where Donald Trump was at that hour. We know where Joe Biden was. We know where Mike Pence was. What about Kamala Harris? So for the better part of a year, no one really asked that question because we thought we knew the answer. Kamala Harris was inside the Capitol building when protesters stormed the gates. We all believe this because the Justice Department said so. In dozens of criminal indictments, federal prosecutors suggested that Kamala Harris was on the scene when the riot began. The DOJ used Harris's presence at the Capitol as evidence that democracy itself was under attack by extremists. Our first black vice president-elect physically threatened by crazed racist insurrectionists. That's the story that judges and grand juries heard from the Department of Justice. And then, out of nowhere, last November, that story changed. Actually, we learned Kamala Harris was not in the Capitol building the afternoon of January 6th. She was somewhere else. Where was she? No one would say. But she was not at the Capitol. So in the face of that fact, the Justice Department was forced to file dozens of corrected indictments to fix the lie they told, which, by the way, was not a small lie, but a very significant lie. But still, no one answered the more basic question. Where was Kamala Harris on January 6th? Even her fellow Democrats began to wonder about this. Why wouldn't they? Some of them wondered out loud. Last week, we found out. CNN reported that Kamala Harris was at the Democratic National Committee on Capitol Hill when the riot began. Here's the fascinating part. The DNC building was the site of one of the two pipe bombs planted the night before, apparently by the same people who stormed the Capitol. Harris's own security detail found that bomb at the DNC. According to CNN's account, Harris herself came within, quote, several yards of that explosive device. Really? It's remarkable if you think about it. Kind of a big deal. Why haven't we heard that before? And why didn't the Justice Department know? Why did the DOJ think Kamala Harris was at the Capitol? It's not like Kamala Harris hasn't talked about January 6th. She talked about it constantly since the day it happened. In fact, just last month, Harris gave a speech in which she said that January 6th was so traumatic that all Americans remember, quote, where they were and what they were doing when our democracy came under assault. She said that. So it would have been the perfect moment for Kamala Harris to tell us that she herself came within mere feet of a racist insurrectionist bomb. They literally tried to kill me. You can easily imagine Kamala Harris saying that. This is a person who puts herself at the center of every story, who invents stories in order to put herself at the center. This is the person who told us she was at civil rights protests as a toddler. But she never mentioned that she was right near the bomb. In fact, she continued to hide that fact. It's completely bizarre. What's going on here? We're not sure. Something's going on here. There's no question about that because the story doesn't make any sense. And now that we mention it, whatever happened to the investigation into those two pipe bombs? Now, everyone's assumed those bombs were planted by a Trump supporter. The media have told us that. But who is this person? 13 months later, we have no idea. The FBI says it has no leads at all in the case. That's very strange. The FBI has video footage of the person who planted the pipe bombs. Footage of that person sitting on a park bench outside the DNC, talking on a phone, reaching into a backpack and planting the device in the spot where Kamala Harris's security people found it the next day. Now, you'd think in the age of facial recognition software, that video might produce a suspect. You'd think the fact that person was on a phone might be very helpful since people are identified all the time in crimes by their phones. But no. No leads whatsoever. Nor apparently does the FBI have DNA evidence. And that's very weird. That means the person who planted these bombs did not leave a single fingerprint, not a single skin cell, hair, or droplet of breath on either one of the pipe bombs. This person never coughed or sneezed or exhaled moisture onto his or her gloves or onto any of the surfaces he or she touched while sneaking around the surveillance fortress that is Capitol Hill on camera the night before January 6th.
Wow.
Weird. People who plant bombs are almost always caught because there's a lot of physical evidence. This physical evidence was in pristine condition. But this person hasn't been caught. This person, an amateur wearing Nike Air Max sneakers, has confounded the entire FBI crime lab and eluded the largest manhunt in American history. Now, you should know that the first pipe bomb was discovered just minutes before the first assault on the Capitol at 1 p.m. Capitol Hill police were notified of the bomb at 12:49 p.m. Protesters at the Capitol swarmed the first police line at 12:50. That's 1 minute later. The chief of Capitol Police at the time, Stephen Sund, later told the Washington Post he believed the pipe bombs were not designed to kill people. They were meant to draw law enforcement away from the Capitol. They were designed to be found, not to explode. In the words of Capitol Hill Police Inspector General, quote, if those pipe bombs were intended to be a diversion, it worked.
I'm going to stop it there because there's a lot to unpack from this. And I don't know if this is going away or not, but isn't it interesting how that all kind of plays into the narrative of the insurrection?
Okay, so I got a few thoughts on this.
Okay.
And it's based upon Dan Bongino's portion of this. Now, some of you guys may know that Dan Bongino actually used to be a Secret Service agent.
He actually used to be an investigator.
And he also protected the president.
Yes. Right?
So he is somebody who is intimately familiar with the system and understands that when you have someone in your care that you are protecting, you know where they're at. So clearly someone is lying to us about where in the heck Camilla was. And if she wasn't inside of the Capitol building, guess what? That means that there's no way they can actually legally block off that area of the Capitol building from the public being able to enter. The only time you can is when the president or the VP is in these places, and then it is able to be blocked off at a federal level based upon the protection of the asset to the United States. And then once that asset is gone, there is no crime there. So we have political prisoners who have been there for more than a year. Now, mind you, also, in regards to this bomber, once again, we already covered that whole situation about the cell phone. But you have a guy that is so doggone professional, absolutely an amazing professional, who didn't leave any fingerprints, didn't get caught on any cameras, didn't have any vehicle evidence linking him to it, didn't have any DNA evidence whatsoever linking him to it, and yet somehow this guy is so amateur that he builds a bomb that has kitchen timers on it that only have 60-minute timers for the night before to where she's no danger the absolute day afterwards. I mean, it's pretty clear that there was no evidence suggesting that this person had any intention of doing anything other than causing a media distraction or a police distraction.
So then you go, why?
Abolish the FBI.
Yeah, interesting stuff.
Well, yeah, it's pretty interesting. There's no perfect crime.
Well, and
you know, you can't commit a perfect crime because there's always some kind of evidence that's left.
Well, and let's look at this, and let's look at the factual evidence about what we've seen over the last year from the FBI. So from the FBI, we have the Governor Whitmore case, to where she is in so much danger of a kidnapping plot where half of the people on the team are the FBI, and half of those people were also the people that were making all of these plans to begin with. That's interesting. All right, the guy who oversaw that also just so happened to be the guy that oversaw the January 6th investigation. Weird. What are the coincidences there? What are the odds? How about the Kyle Rittenhouse case, to where the kid ends up having the video evidence that actually ends up making it to where he's not guilty? It's just somehow lost by the FBI? If you're going to sit here and tell me to my face that the FBI has not been weaponized as a political campaign to imprison people and to put them behind bars without a trial based upon the Patriot Act that Bush set up, this isn't right versus left. This is government tyranny.
I agree.
Are you sure about that?
What a crazy set of circumstances we're in. But, you know, like I say, I think this great awakening is happening worldwide because it's really, you know, they've been playing everybody off against each other for so long that now the facts are coming to light that that's how they've been doing things, and they can't stop the media is the big problem now. See, they used to control the media hook, line, and sinker, and now there's too many outlets for people like us, or you know, there's a ton of other media outlets now that are starting to see these things and starting to report on incidences like this that the mainstream is either covering up, you know, or not reporting at all. Has been, you know, why has CNN got more people working there than viewers now? Because people are saying, you know, I'm tired of being lied to, and they've been blatantly lying about everything all along.
The question people need to be asking themselves about these large three-letter agencies, I'm sorry, I mean news media, is why are all of these large three-letter media organizations have so many people that used to work formerly for these large three-letter agencies? And why do those ties seem to be so closely related? And why do they seem to keep being able to crack down on people like, I don't know, Project Veritas, and being able to get their private legal filings and stuff? Weird.
Let's go to our caller, Rob, real quick.
Well, we have a break.
We got a break?
We're going to go to the break.
Okay, go to the break.
So, hold on. I believe it's Rob. We will get you on the other side of this break. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
Democrats, Republicans, independents, everyone, wash your hands, stay inside, make sure the world is sanitized. Shut it down, lock your doors, cancel culture, getting bored. Nothing left for us to do but sit at home and watch the news. We didn't spread the virus, 'cause we were all at home, we had nowhere to go. We didn't spread the virus, we all just stayed at home, kept playing on our phone. Made it to the grocery store, no toilet paper anymore. I guess that's what we need the most. I don't know why, that's kinda gross. Frozen pizza, Lunchables, shopping baskets looking full. Stocking up on all the seeds, I'll save the world by gardening. We didn't spread the virus, 'cause we were all at home, we had nowhere to go. We didn't spread the virus, 'cause we were all at home, just playing on our phones. No more South by Southwest, no more Disneyland, I guess. No more basketball events, all eyes on the president. Facebook full of scientists, amazing, I did not know this. All the posts and all the memes and government conspiracies. We didn't spread the virus, 'cause we were all.
Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage is having a grand opening Saturday, February 26th from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. at their new location in the Shasta Gateway Center at 1773 Highway 273 in Anderson. They will be featuring new and existing vendors, along with a variety of collectibles from around the world, with jewelry, Tiffany lamps, antique desks and dressers, and much more. Free drawings throughout the day. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage grand opening Saturday, February 26th from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. at their new location in the Shasta Gateway Center, 1773 Highway 273, Anderson.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere ag and turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about
well, it's all right.
someone to tell you everything. Sit around and wonder what tomorrow will bring. Maybe a diamond ring.
Well, it's all right, even if they say you're wrong. Well, it's all right.
Shoot, we're back.
I don't know if that's...
If you are flying the wall, the conversation is just flying around here.
Yeah, we got it going.
Absolutely. So we're back. Casey and our 1460, 96.5 FM. I guess we got a caller
we
here.
We do. We've got Rob on the line. Good morning, Rob.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Hey, I guess I'm kind of getting old enough to remember when we had paper ballots and we got the election results on the same day and we heard the results on the East Coast before we heard the results on the West Coast.
Right.
So we didn't decide Arizona before we decided Florida or Ohio or things like that.
We come a long way, baby.
Yeah, and then in 2000, magically, we have this issue with paper ballots. And so entertain me for a second if you know, I might go a little bit conspiracy theory, but let's say that the one-party system was in on that whole election and was like, okay, this is how it's going to look for the next 20 years. Well, isn't it funny how from everyone between Reagan up until Trump, that these people have never really kind of opposed to one another's time in office and what they've done from the executive branch. And suddenly Trump comes along and they're all like collectively going, this guy's a bad guy, you know? And it's like, you know, those people didn't go into the executive office, very rich people, but yet they came out and they're millionaires.
Well, it was a big game of playing sides against each other in the power play between Republicans and Democrats.
Well, yeah,
game. I don't think that they were actually kept passing the same stuff. Then we got to Trump. You know, you got everybody attacking Trump. I think it's a big indicator. I don't think it's a conspiracy theory as a fact.
Okay. So I want to get to the point here that I'm trying to make here.
Okay.
So we as the electorate have to take responsibility for some of this stuff and, like, not seeing this stuff sooner. I mean, we can't undo history.
I agree.
But we have to be more involved in seating delegates, for example. You know, this stuff kept going on. And I think anybody who voted for Romney in 2012 as a Republican should admit it and say, hey, I'm sorry, because that's like, I remember I was a Ron Paul guy running around and telling people, hey, you know, this guy invented Obamacare. And I would tell that to people who are Republicans and just watch their brains explode and they get all upset with me. I was like, this guy invented Obamacare. What did you not understand about this?
Right. You're talking about Mitt Romney, right?
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. So we need to be a little bit more kind of involved in the process and look for the politicians that are actually, you know, fighting for freedom instead of doing nothing. You know, you've got Rand Paul out there that's holding Fauci to account for all his stuff. You have his father who's been consistent on it. And so, you know, just where we're at right now, maybe we start asking them, hey, how come we no longer use paper ballots and get the election results in the same day, including here locally? It's like, are you kidding me? This recall that just happened?
Yep.
Why does it take, you know, the headline was like, it's going to take a month to get this out.
Well, I think the tide is turning. I think that we, the people, are rising. All politics are local, and I think we're starting to see the American people, the free-loving American people, retaking this. And you're absolutely spot on. We need to get back to reality.
Well, and to Rob's point there, this is very important that people understand what Rob just mentioned there, is because what they're doing right now is they're actually trying to make it to where we lose interest or that we go away. Because if they can drag an election over a month time span and we don't have the people that are there poll watching, all they got to do is have one day. That's
right.
It. Yeah. They just need one day. That's what we saw overnight with Joe Biden. We closed the polls, and then next thing in the morning, look at this giant spike, and Trump got 200 votes.
But I think it's backfiring on them because we are getting more engaged at the local level and holding their feet to the fire. We got more people that are starting to stand up locally where we have to start so we can make a difference and work our way up with that stuff.
Are you still with us, Rob?
I am. I'm hearing what you guys are saying.
Okay, so you got, have you got anything else? Because we got to move on. We got some other stuff we need to cover.
No, I think I said what I had to say, and I agree with what your points are. Thank you.
All right,
thanks
for the call,
Rob.
We
appreciate it.
So I need to play this. This is actually a video, and it's from a doctor of medicine. And this was about the COVID early on. His name is Dr. Peterson.
And I think this applies locally.
Pierre, I'm sorry.
Or could possibly be. Yeah.
So let's listen to this real quick. And then it's Peterson Pierre, Dr. Peterson Pierre. Here we go.
So the current situation is this. If you have COVID and you end up in the hospital, you're put on a rigid protocol, and there's high mortality rate in the hospital, and your family is kept in the dark as to what's happening. So what's going on here? Number one, the CARES Act is providing bonus payments to hospitals whenever you have a diagnosis of COVID. And then number two, the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services is waiving patient rights. This is a deadly combination. So here's what happens. You get a payment because you offer a free COVID test in the emergency room. You get a boost payment if you have a diagnosis of COVID. Number three, you get another bonus payment if you are admitted with COVID. Number four, you get another bonus payment if you're put on remdesivir. Number five, another bonus payment if you're put on a mechanical ventilator. Number six, another 20% bonus if the diagnosis on your death certificate says COVID, even though you may not have died from COVID. And then number seven, there's bonus payments to coroners. Do you understand the gravity of what's happening right now? The Biden administration is literally paying hospitals to kill you. That's what's happening. This is terrible. We need to stop that. These are real human lives we're talking about. They're priceless. It's estimated at about $100,000 per patient is what the hospital is getting. Think about that. Ladies and gentlemen, the real news of right now continues.
Now, I had to play that because I think that's just so powerful that people don't understand what's going on. But that puts a lot of the pieces of the puzzle into place as to how these hospitals are acting, how these people are acting in the hospitals, why they have a stake in it, why they're everybody who you get shot in the head with a gun and you died of COVID, because it's all about getting money infused into their system.
Did you hear about Bob Saget?
Yes, I heard he bumped his head.
He bumped his head, but now there was an article that came out 2 days ago that said he had COVID in his system while he passed. So they're like, how do we label him?
Did he get vaccinated is the first question.
I don't think it matters anymore, does it?
Well, it matters if he passed out from the vaccine
and
bumped his head. I mean, you got that one video of that gal at the Improv who's bragging about, you know, I've got vaccine and booster one, booster two, and went to Mexico.
And I don't have any side effects,
and I'm
but everything's good.
That's right, and Jesus loves me more than everybody else, and then she passes out on the stage and smacks her head and has a concussion, you know. And I posted that the other day, and I put, well, Jesus had the last word, I guess, because, you know, I mean, but that's what we're dealing with. So I don't want to stay on that. I want to move along. I want to go to some of these important headlines. I want to talk about the Durham probe and investigation and developments in that. There's been some court filings. I've got a little short clip here, and then we'll talk about that towards the end of the show about Durham and what's going on. So let's play this real quick.
A new report from Special Counsel John Durham coming out late last night claiming Clinton campaign lawyers paid a tech company to infiltrate Trump servers to fabricate a connection between Trump and Russia. Former acting attorney general under President Trump, Matt Whitaker, is here to react. Matt, you've seen this report. For our viewers, this might be new for a lot of people. What do we learn here?
Well, it's beyond outrageous. And good morning, Pete. I'm glad to be with you. What we've learned is that there were spying operations going on both to the Trump campaign and its Trump Tower headquarters. And then when President Trump became president, they continued to spy on him at the Executive Office of President. And the question it raises for me, Pete, is why was the federal government not defensively briefing President Trump and his team and the campaign as to this domestic spying operation that was being conducted by the Clinton campaign. And the reason is it appears that they were complicit in wanting that information, wanting that the link between Trump and the Russia government. And that just does not exist, and it never did exist. And so this Durham investigation is so important to reveal how much of a hoax this truly was.
So, Matt, you're right. This latest revelation from Durham names tech executive number one, law firm number one, tech firm. You don't get names. But what you're saying is it couldn't have just been one tech firm and one tech exec and one law firm. People inside the government would have had to known this as well.
Yeah, if you think about it, how protected government servers are and should be, there are certainly government agencies monitoring this traffic to make sure that it's not compromised, that it's not being routed through other people like this university and like this private internet company. But it was, and it was being, not only was it being reviewed on an ongoing and regular basis, but it was being used to ultimately try to create a let's call it a dossier, for lack of a better term, but a document that was going to be used against President Trump and or candidate Trump. It is beyond outrageous what happened here, and the fact that the left doesn't seem concerned that this is what was happening, I think shows you how much they wanted to take President Trump down.
Well, we'll get to see that today.
I'm going to stop there. But this isn't just spying on somebody in a campaign. This is now escalated to spying on on a sitting president. And nobody's going to say anything. Nobody's going to do anything. You think it's okay to spy on a sitting president and all these people know about it and there's no repercussions? I don't think so. Now, I've got one other flashback to play, and this is Mornings with Maria back in the day when they're talking to Valerie Jarrett.
Hang on a second. Before you move on, this isn't just spying.
I'm not moving on. I'm saying...
No. This is not just spying on a presidential campaign.
This is criminal.
This is fabricating evidence to prove treason for a sitting president.
That's what I'm saying.
Which in and of itself is treason.
This is a big deal. That's why I'm saying I don't think this is going to go away. I really don't. It's too big. You can't let this go. Trump's already coming out saying he wants prosecutions, all kinds of stuff. But the reason I'm coming to this is Valerie Jarrett asked if Obama was in charge of this thing. This is months back. And let's hear what Valerie Jarrett had to say about this dossier creation, this spying, and so forth.
Obama direct any of this?
That's not how it works. That's not how our investigations work. But we leave that to the intelligence community to bring forward information. And the dossier, I would imagine, would be one piece of a much bigger puzzle. And so if you're saying, is it important to make sure that there isn't influence? And actually, the Mueller report didn't conclude that there wasn't any wrongdoing. In fact, he was explicit in saying quite the opposite. And so I don't think we should read in where there hasn't been actually any conclusions to that effect yet. You're making statements that actually hasn't been
just
proven.
Just to be clear. Robert Mueller said no collusion. Michael Horowitz, the IG of the FBI, said that the dossier was, quote unquote, an essential piece of all of this investigating of the Trump campaign. Essential piece was the word Michael Horowitz used. So you say it was part of a larger mosaic. We have no evidence of that.
Now, the question was, did Obama direct any of this?
Well, and the question for me, too, is on this is, why are they protecting these individuals? Why do we only have tech executive
one? I don't think they are protecting the individuals. I think that Durham is slowly moving through these guys, because once they open up that tech company, man, he's got names. He's going to start tracking down names of all the guys that were involved. He hasn't named them yet because he hasn't necessarily interviewed them yet. And if he has interviewed them yet, he's not going to just throw that out yet. There's going to be indictments by grand juries. So this is a slow process. Now, am I confident that you know, this whole thing's going to break wide open and people are going to prison? Not really after everything that's happened.
Well, and that's my point on it. I mean, we the people have to hold these people's freaking feet to the fire. Because they're not going to get away with saying tech executive one, tech executive two, bank one, just go ahead and slide
on. But it's
going to
come out, and I'll tell you why. This is kind of like Watergate. Now, I remember Watergate, and it was the drip of information for quite a while. It took years.
But this is the crap they do, because what they do is they turn around and they drip out a little bit of information now, and then they release it 2 years later and say, oh, that's old news. And that's how Hillary's gotten to walk in the past.
That's not what's happening here.
I think it has happened in the past that way. It may not exactly be happening that way now.
When I say drip, 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 these guys have got prosecuted at the end of the drip.
But yeah, you got to stop and think, this is very large. Mm-hmm. It's not like you can just take one piece of it and prosecute it and be done
Let me ask you this. If those guys know who did it and they go in and start interviewing and putting pressure on them to start singing,
they're going
to
scatter like roaches.
See, that's what this is about. This is about putting pressure on people to start singing and naming names, because they're not just going after the techie guys, or they would already be named in the indictment and that's where it would stop. They're going up after everybody that is involved is the way I'm reading this.
That's why I say it's so big.
Hope, but my whole point on it is that we the people have to hold their feet to the fire. It doesn't matter at this point whose side they're on. At this point, it is Americans versus tyrants.
Well, and when this comes all out and it's shown what we think is going to be shown, you've already got Trump demands prosecution, reparations from explosive revelations in Durham court filing. Now, this filing was just done like Friday night.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is I'm young enough to remember when Trump was on that podium and had the mic drop moment of, if I was president, then you'd be in jail. I mean, it was a great line. But by the same token, what happened? And I'm just saying,
you're missing the point, what you're doing. No, you're totally missing the point. What happened was he was surrounded by enemies. He was completely, and now I'm not sticking up for Trump, as I'm saying, the guys that were supposed to do the prosecution didn't do the prosecution. So I think that he was overwhelmed with the deep state, and that's exactly what happened. That mean it's going to change? We have to change it. I think you're right on that. Mm-hmm. And we have to change it by changing the congressman, getting constitutionalists in there, changing it at the local level. You know, if we have to have a trucker drive through the United States to say, we want to see some prosecution on this stuff, then maybe that's what needs to happen.
And that's my point exactly, because for far too long, my question to the American people right now is, are we at a better state right now with better people in power right now than we had when Trump was in office?
No.
And I would say
No.
So why do you think it's going to be any different now?
It's different because when you have a special prosecutor, if he is independent and doing his job, nobody can stop him, just like they couldn't stop Mueller.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy can open up every freaking can of worms that he comes along. And if he's doing what he's supposed to, and he is a good guy, he can break this thing wide open. And the indicators are that he is by how he's proceeding. Otherwise, this thing wouldn't keep going. He wouldn't have named these tech companies. He wouldn't have these special filings. He wouldn't see these filings open up more and more and more cans of worms. And now they're into the Clinton campaign.
Not only that, but you got people that are starting to stand up, and the heat is coming from the people, where the people are demanding, like you say, we need to hold their feet to the fire, and more people are standing up, and some of the good people are going, well, maybe it's time, in my opinion, that we start moving on this stuff, because we got these people, and they're getting smart, and they're not backing
now,
off.
The difference here is this, and this is, I'm going to read a quote here from Trump on Saturday. This is a scandal greater in scope and magnitude than Watergate, and those who were involved in and knew about this spying operation should be subject to criminal prosecution. He added, in a stronger period of our country, this crime would have been punishable by death. In addition, reparations should be paid to those who have been damaged by this. Now, all I'm saying is that the more that people know about this and the more that this comes out, the more outraged the American people is, because this means more than just, oh, they spied on a sitting president. This goes deep into the election. If you got this 2,000 mules coming out, this goes into a takeover of our country. Now, at some point in time, do we have to say we're not going to do it, kind of like the truckers? Maybe.
Well, and there's elements of this. Why I'm so serious on this is it was not but 3 days ago we had Kinsinger on The View of all bloody places. But listen to this. Representative Adam Kinsinger on Thursday on ABC's The View said that we have to recognize the possibility of civil war in the United States. Sarah Haynes says now Trump has still a lot of power over the people in the country who believe that the election was stolen. This week, you said you fear that there's a real possibility that a civil war would happen again and our basic survival is at stake. And he talked about at that point, there's a real possibility of targeted assassinations. And there is, I believe.
Maybe.
When you end up looking at how much corruption is in our system, the thing about it is the right and the left, the leftist media right now.
What if they prove it was stolen?
Well, and this is my point. But here is the thing. Biden right now has a disapproval rating of 58%, and you have a vast swath of Americans who they consider themselves Democrats, who are currently right now being labeled by this corporatist, globalist media organizations as being right wing, despite the fact that they
are. I don't think it matters anymore. I think people are gravitating away from lies and to the truth.
Exactly.
That's why you're seeing this.
That's why
it's
Americans versus tyrants.
Yep.
I think that's what it's coming down to. And I think that's what's going to change it. That's what's going to change it. When the lies and the media and the narrative is no longer listened to and people are seeking out information in other places and starting to see the truth. And so we'll just have to kind of stand by and see it. I think this whole thing can end with the next vote. Just like we're ending it in the recall in this county. I mean, you turn over the Congress and everybody's paying attention and you get the Senate back in the hands and then you prove that this president stole the election. Now what?
I think
they can't govern without the people being wanting them to govern them.
We have globalist powers right now that seemingly are willing to plant pipe bombs.
Sure, they're willing to do anything, but it's not working.
Exactly.
But what you're seeing is the confidence of the people, even in other countries, coming back.
Right.
And once the people have confidence back, all bets are off, in my opinion. That's the problem that's been in the past, is the people slowly, we fell asleep, whatever you want to call it, we lost our confidence, and that's when they started taking over. Mm-hmm. Now the people can see, hey, we can make a difference. We are the difference. We have the power, and they're gaining their confidence back to go after these people.
I think it's just a matter of education. Go ahead, Ethan.
We just don't, it's not that we need more confidence. We need confidence, of course, too. But we also need to get more aggressive and more proactive.
Right.
That is true.
Once we get our confidence, let's start getting more aggressive, more proactive.
Well, and my point on this, too, is once we start winning, once we start taking this back, that is the point to where they're either going to lull us into a sense of self-confidence and lull us into a sense that everything's fine and honky-dory now. They'll pretend it's great for 6 months and then go back to the same crap.
Once your eyes are open, you can't shut them.
Mm-hmm.
Once you see it, you can't go back to the way you were.
Or conversely, the other side of it is they will get so much worse and so more tyrannical. I mean, we've seen it over here in Australia. We've seen it to what these countries that are losing power will do to their citizenry once they have that knowledge that they are not going to be in anymore. But that's my thoughts.
I think you still win at the end of the day, no matter what.
I think we do, too.
All right. Well, with that, I think we're just about there.
We are.
Any closing statements from anybody?
I have one thing to say. Okay, so earlier about the health aspect and the addiction and homeless thing, like, the government isn't really going to help because we've already seen that they get the money, but they don't actually really do anything. We need to take it back to the community, to the people that are actually passionate
right.
about helping these people. And there's actually a community that's actually passionate about it, and they're called Life Changer Outreach, and they help the community with addictions, alcohol, depression, anger, and suicide.
And if you want to, they have a number down there on the bottom.
It's local.
So they had people who were representatives here locally just over at the Safeway just this past week as well. But they're all over the place for Life Changers. But they're people that are trying to help. But
sure.
This is what we need to do. When you end up looking at the mental health and the problems that we have with the homeless and the rest of it, it used to be that the churches, the mosques, the well-to-do people would take care of people.
Absolutely.
And then we ended up putting that off to the government, saying, well, I pay my taxes to do that. And what do we know that the government does well? Absolutely
nothing.
We got lazy with that, too.
Yeah, that's why it has to go back to the churches and the synagogues. I totally agree. Do you have a number there, Edith?
Yes. the number for it is, well, it's their website is www.lifechangersoutreach.com. Their number is 541-707-7803.
The music is going to start playing. I'm going to say tune into Mountaintop Media tomorrow. We'll be on Facebook, YouTube, Rumble, mountaintopmedia.com. You can find our podcast. Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force, and force like fire is a dangerous servant and fearful master.
And we will see y'all next week. And you've been listening to KCNR.
All gun
controls,
1460
AM and 96.5 FM.
I am just a simple man working with my hands.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.